The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told to them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told to them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given to him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Very happy to have Father Jonathan here. Not very often that we get to celebrate Mass together. I didn't tell him I was going to talk about this ahead of time. But there's a conversations we usually have, reflecting on what to do for the zombie apocalypse. And reflecting on this, we'll usually kind of talk about, you know, certain scenarios, what's the best thing to do. And it usually has to start with, well, how do we get to the same place, and where do we want to meet? And my response usually is, well, you have to come to me. I'm not coming to get you. A conclusion we come to is a place that would actually be a good defensive place is a prison. It already has all the fortifications for keeping people in, so it should be effective at keeping people out. But this kind of image of a prison, if we kind of imagine our human condition as being in this place where we're stuck, we were born into a world, we didn't get to pick it, and we can't escape it. It might be big and beautiful, but there is a time we were born, and there's a time we'll die. And we were always inside this structure. And on top of that, there's also the problems that we face while in it. And not only are we confined to this place that the Lord has put us, but we made it terrible on ourselves because of sin. And so truly we could say all of us have been imprisoned because of sin. And that's the place that we're enclosed in. And how do we escape? And for this reason, I propose to you that all religion can be thrown into three categories. And trying to solve the answer to this question is answered in various ways, but I think fundamentally we can sort them. As in, well, you're in this prison, so just get used to it. That's all there is. Don't expect anything else. Just dumb down your desires and your expectations so that you're happy in this misery. And so whatever this dying to self, this interior change that you need to do, of this is all that there is or ever going to be, and so that we change ourselves to this. Maybe Buddha could be a wonderful example of this, that it's not trying to fix the world or escape the world, but that we are changed against the world. Another type of answer, that we change the world around us, that we conform our prison, and that we use whatever limited freedom that we have in this and conform the world to what we want it to be. And while we can't get out, well, we can make our own paradise while in it. And then comes the third, is some secret knowledge has infiltrated into the prison, gotten to us from somebody outside, telling us maybe what's the best way to live while in it, or the secret knowledge that we needed of how to escape from the prison. A wonderful example of this would be the Gnostics. Like, oh, I figured out the secret to life, and this is what you have to do to somehow be happy, or somehow, like, something later will come that's waiting for us. And I think we even run the danger of throwing our own faith into one of these three categories, where fundamentally the mystery we profess is that God, who is outside, who has the answers to our affliction, chose to enter into the prison and be a prisoner with us, to be there dwelling with us, and not just to be with us in it, even though that gift itself would be enough. Then he breaks out through the mystery of the resurrection, uniting us to himself to take us with him, that he does all of the work. While we have a wonderful faith and tradition that has lots of virtues, that you can learn to overcome maybe the vices, a life of penance that's trying to overcome the brokenness of the world, an image of this kingdom that is waiting for us, and maybe we can build it here and make our own world more in line with the heavenly kingdom. But fundamentally, all that comes second. First and foremost comes the Lord who came into this to share with us that there is no separation between me and him, that he enters into our very flesh, taking it onto himself. And this mystery is one so radically different than anything else the world has to give us. It doesn't fit into any of these categories. And what does it mean that God became flesh and dwelt among us? That he was a baby who got laid in a manger, who was obedient to parents to being named, who was circumcised, who made himself available to be nailed to a cross. This God who enters into our world that profoundly, and that there is no separation between us and him. So that this question of who is this man? I love the fact that the early church did not have any trouble understanding the humanity of Jesus. Everybody who met him understood he was a human being. Nobody thought he was an angel walking around veiled in flesh with the mere appearance. Those absurd ideas showed up a couple hundred years later. And so in trying to even profess, it's like, no, this man who is very much shares our world, our flesh, in every way, is God. Which means Mary, who gave birth to him, is the mother of God. And that her flesh, who is the one who brings our humanity to mix with this very mystery of God and his spirit. So I'd like to give you a little formula. Human flesh plus the Holy Spirit equals Jesus. So the flesh of our Blessed Mother being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit results in the conception of our Lord. And then comes the Holy Spirit that came upon us when we were baptized. So our flesh, God's Holy Spirit, makes Jesus. That we as a church, as the body of Christ, are the very extensions of the flesh of Christ. So that his being named this day is an entering into our very identity. That we were born into something new that is this union with Christ. And how great that temptation is to separate it. And it's like, well, I'm in still this prison and Jesus is somewhere over there. And yet to inviolate the very gift that is, that he entered into my world, into my life, to my very existence. And that is the meeting point. Grappling with the very gift of our identity in Christ, that we are Jesus. Step into that very existence. And that if I was born of the same womb and by the same spirit, then Mary is my mother. And that this place that is the church is the place where the body of Christ gathers together. That Mary stands as that model, the mother of the church. What Jesus did and what he is doing, he is bringing to completion. To enter into that wonderful mystery of our salvation. But it comes with a caveat, that there is a mission attached to it. The Lord does this for us. But how many people are still in prison? Most especially from, say, the imprisonment of despair, depression, hopelessness. What's the point? Where can we go? And that the Lord sends us through this movement of the Spirit to show up in their world in our flesh. So just as the Lord met us there, how we can meet other people. We might be that very flesh, that very body of Christ enters into their darkness. And it's the Lord who we will meet there because we already know what he has done for us and that he will do this for other people and how much courage it needs to be embarking on that mission to enter into those places. But I think if 2020 has taught us anything, there is much need that we need for the Lord. But he has also already given us everything that we need. And it's not us fixing this world from the inside, but giving the Lord the space to change us while in the midst of this, so that he might bring us to where he is.